over here.
Absolutely.
Are any event, Gam Ish Shalomi, Gam Ish Shalomi, Pasuk on page 374, Pasuk Yud. Okay, I told you, I know someone, he's a Rebbe, he told me he doesn't do this anymore, but he has very, very wild kids in his class. Specialized, these kids are going to get a PhD in becoming Wilde Chayes. Chas v'Shalom. Wild kids. So he tells his kid, he tells them, okay, today you, I want you to bring me a cup of tea. Go get me a cup of tea. Bring the tea for the Rebbe. I'm the Rebbe, you know, Kavod HaTorah. He tells the kid, this kid in seventh grade, bring me a cup of tea. So the kid goes, he makes the tea, and then he brings the Rebbe the tea. He says, wait a minute. Before I drink this, takes a spoon, you drink this. I want to see what, if you're willing to drink this. Did you poison me? Yeah, he tells us these kids that he teases them. So, okay, so today, do they do that today? In the President of the United States, do they have a taster? Okay, all of the Caesars, this is a very famous thing, all of this in ancient times, they had tasters. The king. They had that today in the White House?
Yeah.
The Sar Hamashkim, that's his job. Some want to say that was the primary role of the Sar Hamashkim, the Sar Oifim. It's not so much to pour the drink, it's to taste it. To be willing. I mean, he prepared, but part of the job is you have to taste it in front of the king in order to prove that it's not been poisoned. You tell me in the White House they have tasters before the president eats something?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a chiddush. If you tell me it's true, it's true. This is exactly what the Radak says is the pshutoi shel mikra in this pasuk. David Melech says, I can't trust anyone. I can't even trust the person who tastes my food, my taster, whatever they call. I can't even trust him. I'm afraid there's a conspiracy to kill me. And even the person who is the ish shiloi mi, the man who is at peace with me, the person who I assume I can trust the most, the horaya, he tastes my food. Gam ish shiloi mi, asher botachti voy. I have faith in him. Oichel lachmi. He's the one who tastes the food before it goes in my mouth. Even him, I can no longer trust. Higdil olai okev. He's a suspect that his footsteps are suspicious. Higdil, they have been magnified. It's an expression over here is that I'm afraid that he's conspiring against me. I have to watch his footsteps. Every move that he makes, I have to, Higdil, it's a big deal. It's something that is magnifying. I have to suspect maybe he's trying to kill me as well. Meir told me that Saddam Hussein, Zecher Rasha L'Klala, would not even produce. Shechik, excellent. Shechik, the Shinra sin. Shechik? What is it, the Shinra sin? Shechik or Shechik? Okay, his waste, when he went to the Beis Akisei, his waste did not go into the regular sewer system. His waste went into his own collection of waste, because he was afraid that someone would get a hold of his waste and they would send to a laboratory and they would analyze it and they would know exactly his health situation. And he did not want people knowing his private business, what kind of diseases he suffers from, because maybe they would take advantage. So he would not even allow the waste that comes out of his body to be, he was so paranoid to be, just to go down the regular sewer system, because someone will intercept it somewhere along the line in the system and will, who knows, do what. In Iraq? Sure, they must have known. There was nothing there. There had to be something there.
In the time of Yosef, by the way, there were, historically speaking, a lot of assassination attempts in those days, because the Hittites were looking to take over Egypt. And in fact, they were pharaohs from the Hittim were pharaohs for a number of years, because they did eventually take over for a while until they took it back.
Yeah, there were always assassinations. Even debate Alexander the Great. How did he die? He died when he was in his 30s. He was very, very young. So some say he was poisoned. There are many theories. Alexander the Great.
Oh yeah.
No one really knows for sure. There are a lot of different conspiracy theories. How did all these people die? But this is a fascinating.
Well, they said he had venereal disease, anyhow.
Could be, yeah. Could be, we don't know. This is my boy from Eric the show. He looked great. He looked like he was 10, 20
exactly,
pounds.
Exactly, 10.
10 pounds. Wow, what's the secret?
What's Mark, the secret? Where's the donkey? Can you bring me the donkey? Speaking of sewers, the reason the rabbis of Satna support Coco.
Alright, I don't want to get. Alright, let's not. You know that's a fact?
Yeah, they had a problem with the water system. Remember they were fighting.
All right, okay, there's a lot to say about this, but not now. This is not a shoe on politics today. Let's turn over here. Okay,
let's go.
Over here, okay, so over here, Asher Dach, Oichel Lachem, Higdil La'okev. We'll read the Meredach in a few moments. The Atah, now, David over here is saying that I can't trust this continuation. But yesterday, David is saying I cannot trust anyone. The people that come to visit me, David over here is complaining, according to most of the Mepharshim, he's very, very sick. They're coming to visit me, and I'm suspicious. When they come to visit me, they're not coming to say, how are you feeling? They're coming to spy and to discover my vulnerabilities and to plan after my demise. And I don't trust anyone. I don't even trust the people who taste my food. Pasuk Yudal V'yatra, you Hashem, Choneni. Hashem, my only hope is in you. Choneni, show me favor. V'hakimeni, and may you allow me to rise once again. Now this is a very big controversial word expression, which is a very, very large array of interpretations, and it's very relevant and it's very, very important to understand what va'ashalom olohem. And we'll read the mafarshim in a few moments, but basically the question is, David is saying, I'm going to get better. I have faith in you, Hashem. You're going to show me favor. You're going to restore me to my position of power and health, and then what? So we're going to see inside a few moments, but basically what it means is then either it means I'm going to take revenge, or mikotze lakotze, I'm going to forgive everyone. Not only will I forgive everyone, I'm going to do kindness with all of my enemies. Mepharshim on this page go shalom. So shalma means there will be retribution, like there will be shlemos. Measure for measure. We'll see them far the word how we
talk. I find it interesting that the son that followed him was Shlomo.
Interesting. Shlomo. Interesting what you're saying. I'll make him my successor. That will be the ultimate revenge. David had many children, 18 wives. Yeah. He had many children. Who did he select to be his successor?
I assume the last.
Okay, that's the whole turn on this. But over here, on this page alone, there's a whole collection of interpretations, and it's fascinating how they go mamish from 180 degrees apart. Either some say means when I get better, it's payday. The people who came here and they were spying on me to see when am I going to die, wait until I get back in power. These people are finished. I will rip them to shreds. I'll make their lives miserable. Why? Because I'm a melech. And Malchus demands respect. I'm not a pushover. I'm not your punching bag. That Malchus, you don't go, the people should, l'man yishmu v'yirohu v'lo yizidun od. I'm not a private citizen. And Malchus demands respect. And this is not a way you treat the melech of Klal Yisrael, and all future generations has to know, watch out. It's not, it has to go down on record. You don't take advantage, you don't abuse your power, you don't do this to a melech. And people have to learn this lesson, and I will make sure that they'll learn the lesson very well for generations to come. Because that's what Malchus demands. That's not necessarily the way a private citizen behaves when he's in the same situation. And all the Mepharshim here saying just the opposite. Vashalom Elohem, Hashem, I'm not going to take revenge. It's not the Jewish way to take revenge. After I'm restored to health, I'll make peace with these people. We'll make a party. I'll have a beer with them. And shalom al Yisrael. Okay, so we'll see. It's an incredible, because it's no gehalacha l'maaseh. You're dealing over here with people who are in a position of authority. People in a position of authority, whether you're a rav of a shul, or you're a rosh shiva, or you're a prime minister of Israel, and people are always looking to take advantage and to exploit your vulnerabilities. And then the day comes when they're caught. What is the proper response of a leader of a leader versus a private citizen in dealing with these type of things. And here there's something we want to learn from. See what the Mepharshim say. Pasuk Yudeis Bezos Yodati Ki Chafatz Tibi.
We can see that Sabaad, the ring that he gave to Shlomo, to
Shimon Gera. Shimon Gera. I didn't do anything to them. But you, my son, you make sure that these guys don't leave this world. You take care of them. That also is something that is very interesting. Okay? David Beferish, Shimon Ben Gera cursed him. And David Beferish in the Pasuk forgave him. So that's a very powerful sugya, Shimon Gera. David, he cursed him publicly, Shimon Gera. And David, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, he forgave him. Yet on his deathbed, he told Shlomo Melech, even though I forgave him, you don't forgive him, and you make sure that he dies. You make sure that you kill him. So it's a Pella. How do you understand that? A person himself says, I forgive you, but your son, you tell your child, you make sure you kill him. Unbelievable. It has to be understood. Pasik Yudbeis Bezos Yodati Ki Chafatzi Bezos. When you, Hashem, when you will restore my health and restore me to my power, by this you will make it, when this will happen, Yodati, I will know if you, Hashem, will allow me to get better and to be restored, I will then know ki chafatz, that you have a desire for me. You really want me to succeed. I mean, you love me. It says by Shechem, ki chafetz bevas Yaakov. It was chafetz. Chafetz, when it comes, has a connotation of like you love me. If you will allow me to get better, then it will give me satisfaction in knowing that you, Hashem, you love me. You have a desire for me. Ki lo yoriya oivi oloi. You will not allow my enemies to shout for joy. Like we heard before, you know, they'll shout, hip hip hooray, he'och he'och. By allowing me to get better, that will silence my enemies. They'll not be able to have a joyous, put the headlines of the New York Times, congratulations, David is no longer. That will be a sign, if you will let me get better, you'll silence my enemies. Pasuk Gimel, Vani Bisumi, I Bisumi, in my Tamimus, Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha, Tamachta Bi, you have supported me, Vatat Siveni Lefanecha Le'olam, and you will establish me. I will stand firm. And what does this mean exactly? I don't really know. We have to see the Mepharshim to have more clarity. In my wholesomeness, I will live a life of wholesomeness. Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. And when I do that, I will be supported. And you will establish me. I'm just saying words. I don't really know what I'm saying. We'll see in a few moments. Le'olam forever. And we'll see what that word means here as well. Okay? A very interesting translation of the word Le'olam. And then we have the very last pasuk of this Sefer. This concludes Sefer, the first fifth of Sefer Tilim. David wrote Tilim, he patterned it similar to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Okay, so this is like Bereshis. This is the end of Bereshis. There's a parallel between the five books of Tehillim and the five books of the Torah. The next Miz section deals a lot with Korach. Lam Natseach Livnei Korach Biznar. Okay, that's gonna be the second. A lot of the stuff is a collection of other people's mizmar. It seems that this section, Chumash, the first Chumash, is mainly David's compositions. David, and now in the second Chumash, he's gonna begin to be malakate from his predecessors. Okay, we have to see. I don't know, but we'll see. But as he winds down, it's like making a Berocha Acharoina. He's making a concluding statement. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Mei Ha'olam, V'ad Ha'olam, Amen V'Amen. Blessed is Hashem, the God of the Jewish people. From Mei Olam means, Chazal Darshan's interpretation, this world, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Amen, Amen repetition, which connotes an absolute acknowledgement that everything is emes. Amen literally means truth. It's emes, true. We like to assume that it's an acronym for Kel Melech Neman. Hashem is a God of faithfulness, but also it means emes. Emes and Emuna obviously are related, and of course this has to be understood much more. What is the significance? And by the way, when we say in Baruch Hashem Li'olam, when we say so, we take basically the end of three of the Sfarim. We take, when we finish Pesukei Dezim, before we say Vayivarach David, and we say the main part of Pesukei Dezim, of Asher and the Halalukas, so when we say Baruch Hashem Li Olam Amen V'Amen, that is the conclusion of the first Sefer. I think of the three of the five, we say three Pesukim, which is the conclusion of three of the Sfarim. You have to really go back and review that. Okay, we'll do another time. Where that comes from? But this is the end of this sefer with this very beautiful pasuk. Okay, now let's go back and review everything here in much more detail.
Right.
As we said, that all in this world and from this world to the Beis Hamikdash, they would say this. And Olam Haba, the two worlds. Targum says, right, good, very good. I know they're right. Right, good, look at the Targum, very good. Berich Shmei Da Hashem Elokad Yisrael Min Olmo Hodein, this world, V'ad Olmo De Osei, the next world. Yemun Tzadikai, then he adds, who will say Amen V'Amen? The Targum adds the Tzadikim. The Tzadikim will say Amen V'Amen. Okay, let's go back one thing at a time. Let's go back to the Mitzvah, the study of Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, back on page 374. Gam ish loimi, gam ho ish ashohoye imi b'shalom asher he'echaltiv lachmi. David here is saying that even my friends who I would invite them for dinner, I would take them out to, what's that restaurant called here on Avenue M, down the corner, Pasada?
Piscata.
Pescada.
The French word for fish is pescada.
Oh, I don't know that. Pescada. I would invite them for lunch. We'd go to Pescada every day. Even those people, who I ate with together, I can't trust anymore. I can't trust. Look at page 376 in the Mitzudos. Higdil olai okev hoya magdil olai ma'arov le'eroiv al nafshi. These people. Magdil. The word magdil is a very hard word to translate in this context. Magdil means to make great. What does it mean here to make great? They're looking to ambush me. They're looking to trap me. They're looking to take advantage of my vulnerabilities. So how does the word magdil? They're magnifying vulnerabilities. Every person has vulnerabilities. And the person who wants to overtake that person has to exploit. So I think what it means of the word magdil, a good translation is exploit. Magdil means exploit.
Maybe something like focused.
Magdil means to make great. Magnifying glass.
Yeah.
You're giving it focus. Okay, so I think it's like you're exploiting a vulnerability. There's something there, you know, this security. Who would know that the back door is open and there are hammers lying all around the place?
He was an illegal immigrant.
Yeah, of course. All right, so there are...
He's like translating Orkav as Marov.
To lie in ambush.
Ambush. Turn them upside down. He's translating the word Ekev. Great.
Okay, means the heels. You lie in ambush. You position yourself in a location where you can take advantage of the situation. So what does it mean, magdil? Magdil means to make great. I'm just suggesting that every person has there are vulnerabilities, and they're very minor, they're microscopic, and you have to be clever to find those little teeny openings and then take advantage of it and exploit those. That's what it means, magdil. There's a moment you go, there's a guy has a security detail. Okay, I'm sure you've all seen read some novels or seen some films, and they're trying to go break into and a person has a security detail.
Strategy.
And you know that the best time to attack is when they change shifts, because during the time when they change shifts, so there are moments, there are a few little moments where, you know, not everything is so super tight. The security is not so good. There's a little bit of confusion. Oh, that's that moment, that little teeny moment of time when there's a change of shift. I'm going to exploit it. We're going to be magil. We're going to take advantage of that moment, and we're going to take advantage, and we're going to lay an ambush, and we're going to conquer.
By the way, the end of Sefer Sheni is Uvaruch Shem Kvod Olam V'Malech Kvod Eskol Atzomei.
That's the next pasuk.
And the end of Shlishi is Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Yomei.
Exactly.
It goes back to the beginning of the Tefillah.
So the end, we take the end of the first three books and we combine the last pasuk of the first three books and we put it together in that little section, Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen V'Amen, when we conclude the main portion of Psukei Dezimra, the Ashrei, and the five Hallelukas. So we then say, just like in the Chumashim, we have the pasuk Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. We have a different pasuk in each one of the sections to conclude each Chumash. We also, and when we finish, when we conclude the Pesukei Dezimra, before we say Vayivarech David and Oz Yashir, we take those Pesukim. Going back over here to finish the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos David, he says over here, therefore even the people that I thought I can trust, who would come, would dine at my table, I can't trust them. I suspect they're looking to overtake me. They're waiting in ambush to exploit a vulnerability and bring about my downfall. Next words, V'yato Hashem, oz b'choli, hispalalti, v'yamarti ato Hashem chonen v'hakimeni mechalizem. I beg you, Hashem, to heal me, to show me favor, and to restore my health. V'ashalom Elohem kigmulam. According to the Mitzudas David, it would appear that the word Vashalom Elohem means I'm going to take revenge. I'm going to give them what they deserve. When my health is restored and I'm back in control, these people who were planning my downfall, they will be exposed and they will be punished. Gemula means punishment in this context. Pasuk Yud Beis, Bezos, when you heal me, Hashem, I will have the satisfaction in knowing that you love me. And you will not allow my enemies to shout for joy. I don't want my enemies to rejoice over my downfall. Now here's a hard pasuk. Pasuk Yigim is a hard pasuk. V'ani b'sumi, uv'avur she'holachteni b'smimus, loze tomachti b'choli, v'hitzav t'tani l'fonecha b'briyus kol yimei chayai. Okay, so this pasuk here, according to the Mitzudos, this pasuk is very difficult, there are different interpretations. David over here is reflecting that when I do recover, I will know that it's because I deserved it. I'm not going to recover from my illness because it's a gift, a handout. I lived a good life. I was an honest person. I did the right thing. I was Moise Nevesh v'Hashem. I lived a life where I can say about myself, I was Mekayim, Tomim Tihiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, I'm entitled to have a refuah shleima, because that's what the Torah says. V'choyo im shemoya tishmu el mitzvasai asher nochi mitzav eschem hayom liyava es Hashem Elokechem ul yavdu b'chol levav v'chol na'afshechem v'nasati eise b'sotcha l'mdecha v'yachalto v'savato. You will eat, you'll be satisfied. Okay, you're entitled. The person that does what Hashem wants you to do, you really are entitled. Okay. Unfortunately, today we live in a world of hestapon, and we don't always see this. We see very, very good people who suffer quite a bit. Okay, so that's the exception. It's not a good thing to become, unfortunately, sometimes you read some of these books and these articles, it's like it's almost expected that the more a person does what Hashem wants him to do, the more he suffers in this world, in order to cleanse his neshama for the next world. That's a terrible attitude. That's keneged kol haTorah kula. People, it's no question, tzaddik v'raloi. That is the exception. That's not the norm. A tzaddik person in this world does the right thing, so Hashem forgives him for his minor imperfections, and he has a good life in this world, and a good life in the next world. It doesn't have to be that just because a person does Torah mitzvahs, he's now going to suffer yisurim, so that in the next world, he'll be clean. That's a horrible thing. You get that impression by reading all these books and all these things. the more you're a tzaddik, the more you should expect to suffer in this world. All different types of suffering. So Hashem will cleanse your neshama. You have a good, like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, he had 10 nisyonos. Okay, he was the one who made an awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And look, Hashem brought upon him 10 terrible things, 10 nisyonos. Yaakov Avinu, he wanted Kofsa Lav Rogza Shel Yosef, yeah? Of course, but it's the exception. Yeah. Not the norm. We live in a world where we're bad, where we see so many problems, we see so much suffering in this world. And there are so many things that are constantly being sent our way to be mechazek, good people who suffer. You almost drown in this impression, that's the way it has to be. This is what is expected. That's a terrible thing. That's totally false. Sadik Virale Rasha Vitovloi.
Clear the books and the same thing with the small sins of Sadik.
Exactly. This is the exception. The norm is Vihoya im Shamoya, we say in Kriyashma every day what is expected. If you do what you're supposed to do, Hashem will bless you. Vyachalta Visavata. You'll have all the brachos. That is normal. That's the way it is. If you rachmana litzlan, you see a person who's suffering, that's the exception. That's not the norm. And David here says that if I recover now from my illness, it's because I'm entitled to recover. I'm entitled to have a good life because ani b'sumi b'avur shahalachti ani b'simimus lozeh. Because I lived a life of tanimus, therefore you, Hashem, have supported me. You have granted me the ability to be firm. And you've restored my health, and you've stood me firm in good health. He's winding down now, and he's saying, just like he's doing what the Mitzvah Zod is doing, what the Radak does a lot. And David here is saying, he's saying,
something bothers me about this two psukim. He's testing Hashem. He says,
I don't know. He's,
Hashem,
yeah.
Wait a minute. If you do that, then I know.
I don't think he's saying that. I think, okay, I hear what he said, but the Mitzvah Zod is trying to lighten that what you're trying to say, and this is an idea which we have.
With this, I'm going to be a good person.
We had this in Radak a lot. This idea that David, this is a very important idea. David is looking back at his life. When David finds himself in a difficult situation, he says, did this happen before? Did this same difficulty happen to me in my life before? That's why a diary is very good. And then, yeah, this did. This happened before. So what happened then? There was a time in my life when I was deathly ill, and guess what? I got better. So the same way I beat the odds 25 years ago, and then may have been even more difficult, And the only way I recovered was because of Hashem's miraculous intervention. So why should it be any different now? So the same way Hashem in the past has come to my aid, that is an inspiration that Hashem will come to my salvation at this moment in time. Now the Mitzvah Zod goes and he says, he just changed a little bit because the Mizmar starts off, Ashrei Maskil Eldol. So David over here is coming over here. What he's seeing, the Mitzvah Zod is saying, is that David over here is not even really discussing himself. He is and he's not. He's saying over here, I want to go and give chizuk to all those people who will find themselves in a difficult situation and tell them, look at me. I was also in a very difficult situation. And look, Hashem came to my aid. So take inspiration. Take inspiration from me. I was in a desperate situation. And everyone said, I'm finished, I'm done. And I made a miraculous comeback because I put my faith in Hashem. So you do the same. And if you'll do the same, you can expect the same results. Use me as a source of inspiration. We had many times where David says, difficult situations happened to David later in his life. And he said, well, did this ever happen to me before? Yes, it did. He looked in his diary and he saw he had a similar difficulty years ago. And he saw that that moment, that there was no solution how he could have survived. And it was miraculous. The same way Hashem came to his salvation then. No, that's inspiration. Hashem will come to my salvation again, once again. And now he's expanding that concept to other people. He starts off and he says, Ashrei maskil eldol. Praiseworthy is the person that is kind and gracious to a poor person. Person that's mevaker choyle, a person that helps someone in a difficult situation. And that person, you should know, Hashem will come to your rescue. B'yoyim ro'ah yimalateu Hashem. How do you know? Who says? How do you know that, David? You're making big promises that a person that's kind and gracious and is good, Hashem's going to come to their rescue. How do you know? Prove it. Look at my life. I lived a good life. I am an example of one who is maskil eldol. I always gave tzedakah. I supported the poor. I did everything right. And when I had a yom ro'ah, when I was deathly ill, and all the doctors said there's no hope, guess what happened? I recovered fully. So just like I was maskil eldol, and Hashem came to my rescue b'yom ra'ah, everyone who's reading this mizmor should expect the same results. You live a good life, and when difficult times come upon the world, which you cannot avoid, because that's the way Hashem made this world, don't worry, you will survive. And that's what the Mishnah said. Look, read the words of the Mishnah again one more time over here. He said one more time these words over here.
Yeah. Because I saw it in another place, the Mizmor Shemim Shabbat, Mehagit ki yashar Hashem, tzuriv lo avlat abo. Is there a doubt?
Yeah.
Yashar? I said, why do we need it? But he said, give the punish the Hashem, and give the tzadikim this, kedei she yagidu she Hashem hu yashar. Hashem, we know it.
Okay, when Hashem punishes the wicked, there's a kiddush Hashem Shemayim. Justice has been served. There's a sweetness in recognition of the emes, that Hashem has come to the aid of the tzaddik. People who suffer from wicked people, when justice is served, there's a kiddush Hashem. There's a tremendous kiddush Hashem to see mishpat in this world. Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'ani b'sumi olgalu l'mitzvot v'ani b'sumi uv'avur shehalachti ani b'smimus. Because I lived a life of tmimus, lozeh, that is why you, Hashem, have come to my rescue when I was down and out. Lozeh tomachto bi b'chol yi, v'hitzavtani, you supported me in my illness and you have established me, you have restored me, lefonecha, bibrius, with health, kol yimei chayai. V'chol zeh musav l'mal. Now this, what's the purpose of this pasuk? It's going back to give inspiration to the beginning of the mizmor. To say loymar kishem, just like shetomach bi becholi, just like you Hashem, you supported me in my difficult situation. Bavur kishoy masa, because I was a good person. The correctness, my deeds were kosher, in kosher beinei hamelech. The kishoy masa came likewise. The yisoy Hashem will support the yismoich as kol maskil eldol. Anyone that is kind and gracious to the poor. Now we wind down the last pasuk of the sefer. Baruch Hashem Nosan Hoidol Lokel B'chaloisai HaSefer. This is the end of the first Sefer of Tehillim, the first Sefer, and David gives Shevach LaHashem, Al Hashem Nosan Bayruach Hashem L'daber Bo, that Hashem has given him Koyach L'dab to speak to Hashem, Meho Olam, I guess to say writing Tehillim, Meho Olam Ritzon Eloimar, Miktsei Ho Olam Ad Kotseyu. So Mordechai over here, he doesn't say what it's in the Targum, he just says over here from one end of the world to the other end. It seems like he's talking about planet Earth. Everyone knows the Earth is flat. It's a conspiracy theory to say the world is round. Miksei from one end of the world to the other. Loim miksei olam ad katsei. Amen, amen, hu kederecha oine, amen, achar bracha liyos mikuyam. And he's saying amen. This is a very interesting halachic concept. You don't say amen after your own bracha. So why is David over here saying amen? He's giving a bracha. He's giving his own bracha. You don't do that. That's called amen yisoyma. You're not supposed to answer amen after your own bracha. Someone else is supposed to answer amen. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Me'olam Ve'olam, amen. How do I do that? So the answer is, it's not really true. Halacha l'maisa, when you say uvnei Yerushalayim yakodesh b'merav yamein baruchat Hashem bonei v'rachmav Yerushalayim, amen. How are you going to do that? Yeah, how do I do that? Now, we don't do this, but there are those when they finish Hallel, they say Amen. Melech, what? Yishtabach, Melech, also Yishtabach, Melech, Mulo, Batish, Bechois, Amen. We don't do this. And Oh, so, but that's a part, those are psukim. Okay, you're not saying Amen. So the answer is, it's not so simple. There is a principle in the halacha that you don't answer Amen after a single bracha. But when you recite a set, a collection of blessings, you get to the end of the collection, then you are permitted to answer Amen after your own Baracha. And that's why we do this in Uvenei Birchas HaMazon, Min HaTorah, according to most opinions, has how many blessings? Three blessings. The Baracha of HaToy VeHaMeitiv was added later on, after Beitar, and that's only Midrabanan. So the Ikur Birchas HaMazon are the first three blessings. So it's a set. When you conclude a set of blessings, then you are permitted to answer Amen after your own bracha. Psukei Dezimra, it's two blessings. It's Baruch She'amar, and then is Yishtabach. And in the middle, you have all of the Mizmorim. So it's a set. Now, we don't do this, but there are those, I don't know which Nusach, that when they finish Yishtabach, they say Amen. Hallel, also there's a set. You say in the beginning, you say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayse v'tzvanu likro es ha-halel. And then at the end, you make a bracha, yehallelucha, we make a bracha. So there are those, it's not our custom. They do say, because they say amen when they conclude that the bracha. Because when you have a set of blessings, then it's not the end of the world to answer amen after your own blessing. And here, David over here is giving a blessing. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Okay, it's not a classic blessing, but it's a blessing. And then he says, Amen the Amen. How is that to do that? I don't know. But to a degree, he's concluding a chumash, a whole chumash. It's a unique breakpoint in Sefer Tehillim. And therefore, obviously, he felt it's appropriate to say Amen the Amen. Why do you break it up? I don't know. I don't have an answer, full answer. But there is a principle. Chazal say something unique. David was mispalel to Hashem that someone that says Tehillim, it should be equivalent to learning Torah. We know that when you learn a Daf Gemara, there's Talmud Torah. When you daven Shemona Esrei, this is Tefillah. Hai luchud v'hai luchud. Hakoil koil Yaakov. There's a call of Tefillah and a coil of Torah. They're not the same. They have a different role. When a person is Omer Lefnei HaMelech and Sesh Dazim Shemona Esrei, he's not getting credit in Shemayim for Talmud Torah. A person has an obligation every single day, V'shinantam Levonecha, to learn Torah. When a person daven Shemona Esrei, a person doesn't say Kriya Shema, and he just daven Shemona Esrei, does he get credit? Has he fulfilled his obligation to learn Torah? No. Absolutely not. But I daven a Shemona Esrei for 2 hours, so what? Hai lechud v'hai lechud. If you learn a Daf Gemara, very nice. You learn a Daf Gemara. Did you daven Shachris today? Did you daven Mincha? No. So you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Hai lechud v'hai lechud. David, and this is a very difficult chazal, I don't know what it means. David was mispalel to Hashem that when people recite my Tehillim, my book of Psalms, they should get credit for both together. They should get credit for prayer and for Talmud Torah. On the books, he was a person, as you read this Mizmor and you say it properly, you get credit. You are mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of yegisa bo yom v'layla, and you were mekayim the mitzvah. The Rambam holds that tefillah is a deraisa. The Rambam holds that tefillah is deraisa. You mekayim the mitzvah v'avadetem es Hashem elokeichem. You were mespalo. This was David's request. Now there are a lot of the mafarshim that when the Gemara, this is the Gemara, they say David made this request, but we do not find anywhere B'chol HaTorah Kula, Hashem's response. If Hashem said, David, I accept your request, and yes, if a person says a mizmor of Tehillim, I will give him sachar for Talmud Torah and for Tefillah. David, you can ask all you want. Who says that Hashem was maskin? But the fact that he did make this request, and the fact that Chazal did acknowledge and record this request in the Gemara somewhere in the Gemara, this request, Mimela, we do learn that obviously there is something to it, which means that Tehillim is a parallel to Torah. Because if a person is going to say Tehillim, you're going to get credit for Talmud Torah, there is a parallel to Chamisha, to Torah. How did David express that my Tehillim is equivalent to Talmud Torah? Chamisha Chumshen, Chamisha Chumashen. There are five books. So Yael, you want to go back with why there are five books of Torah? That's also a very good question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu divide the Torah into five books? That's a tough question to ask. Okay, obviously Chazal says Sefer HaYoshar, the Avos, Chumash is the Sefer of Geula. The best word in the Chamisha Chumash is when you say Navinu Malkeinu, one of my favorite verloch. I told this 100 times. When you say Avinu Malkeinu, you say Avinu Malkeinu Kosveinu B'Sefer Chayim Tovim, Avinu Malkeinu Kosveinu B'Sefer Geula Yeshua, Avinu Malkeinu Kosveinu B'Sefer Parnasa V'Chalkala, Avinu Malkeinu Kosveinu B'Sefer Zichu Yois, Avinu Malkeinu Kosveinu B'Sefer Selicha U'Mechila. What are those five books? Those five books are Chumash Bereishis, it's Chaim Tovim, the story of creation, creation of the world, and creation of Klal Yisrael. The Sefer Geul of Yeshua, it's a no-brainer, is Chumash Shemos. Parnasa V'Chalkala is Korbanos. When you bring a carbon is Avoida. When we daven for sustenance. How do you daven for sustenance? And what is the Unishalma Fodim Sifoseinu? By bringing Korbanos to Hashem, it's a form of supplication. Mechilas Avoinos. It's a form of when you bring korbanos, it's avoida, and avoida is the adam ayin la avoida es adama. The earth did not produce sustenance until a person came along to serve Hashem. The grass came to the surface of the ground, but did not go forward. The adam ayin la avoida es adama to daven to Hashem, bringing korbanos is an avoida, which through that avoida produces sustenance. Chumash Bamidbar is what? Numbers. What numbers? Our ancestors. How many people lived in the desert? 600,000. All of the Shvatim, the numbers. This, what?
That's a fraction. That's males.
That's a fraction.
What in a fraction?
60
How many people? There were 3 million. Right? That's what they say, 2.5. Somewhere between 2.5 and 3, according to modern statisticians, if there are 600,000 males between the age of 20 and up, so according to modern day scientists, that means there are about two, it means there's between approximately at least 2.5 million to 3 million people. That should be expected. Because for every man, there's a woman. And then under the age of 20, so it's about 3 million people. Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's very important, Rav Moshe Feinstein used that number to define a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So Moshe Feinstein, this is Rav Moshe Feinstein, a Chiddush Nifle of Moshe Feinstein. If in the desert there were 600,000 males from 28 years and up, that means how many people were living in the Machane Yisrael, Yud Beis Mil. Yud Beis Mil is about 8 miles. In 8 miles by 8 miles, how many people living there? Approximately 2.5 to 3 million people.
With no
high-rise buildings. Fine, exactly. So if you have a situation of Moshe Feinstein, the whole din of Erev comes down to this. If you have an area, an open area of Yud Beis Mil, which is approximately 8 miles by 8 miles, and in that area, by 8 miles, by eight and a half miles, or nine, let's say it's 9 miles and 9 miles, and in that block that's open without any hefsek in the middle, there is 2.5 million people. Automatically, that area is a reshus harabim de'oiraisa, and there's nothing you can do to stop that. And you're not even allowed to carry on a dead end street. That's the summary of Rav Moshe's Psak Halacha. That's basically his chiddush, which is a chiddush nifla, which many poskim have a hard time accepting. But many people in this neighborhood and many of his they don't really accept. If Rav Moshe said this is what it is, this is what it is. Based upon this number, like he said, 600,000 adults 20 and up turns into 2.5 million people. They lived Yud Beis Mil. Yud Beis Mil today is approximately 9 miles by 9 miles. If you have such an open area with that number of people, that's called the Rosh Saram Deraisa, and there's nothing you can possibly do. Okay, so in Brooklyn, pretty much, yeah, you can, it's very close, you should know. It's not so pashut. Not so pashut. I don't know. I'm not into this. I don't know. I'm not into this. But supposedly, it's very, very close. It's very, very close. This area that we live in, this whole area is an open area that has those dimensions and has that. It's a very close number. Has about 2.5 plus million people living in this area, and therefore Rav Moshe held there's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is if you mamish make a wall around it and you close it up at least part of the time. It's not so pashut, and it's very impractical, and therefore Rav Moshe held.
In
what? No, that's they do not need to be Jewish. They do not need to be Jewish. They do not. And in Manhattan, you have the same issue. You have the same issue in Manhattan. And if Moshe held, therefore, there's nothing you can do. Obviously, there are many Gedolei Yisrael that held that's a very big Chiddush, and they were not so willing to accept it. And I don't have to tell you, everything else is history. Okay? There's a lot of...
Everything else is
my focus. Everything else is whatever. Okay, let's not go... Let's not get... Let's finish up over here, okay?
We had yesterday...
There's a lot. This is a topic that goes on forever and ever and ever. This is not for now. Any event, we have over here, how do we even get into this? I don't even know. So getting back to the Mitzvah, it's the Baruch Hashem Yolam Amen. The Amen, the 5 years, the question, Rabbi Neiman's question is, is an important question. Why is it necessary for David to break up Tehillim into 5 parts? So we go Inyan. The Chamisha. What about Chumash Devarim? Let's Chumash Bamidbar. Chumash Bamidbar. Sefer Zichuyos. Who is our greatest merit? The Avos, our ancestors, our parents, grandparents, great grandparents. The Kosveinu B'Sefer Zichuyos is Chumash Bamidbar, because in Bamidbar, all of the Jewish people are counted multiple times. And the counting of the Jewish people serves as the ultimate zuchus, the Klal Yisrael. Sefer Zuchuyos. And what is Chumash Devarim? Moshe Rabbeinu's Bakosha, Vo Eschanan El Hashem, Bo Eisahi Lemar, Ebrono, Vere, Esoritz HaToyva Hazoitz, Hor HaToyva Zeva HaLevonon, forgive me! Forgive me for the chait of the Mei Meriva. B'sefer Sechlicha U'mechila. The whole Chumash Devarim is one long request of Mimavakesh. So therefore, when you say on the Yom Noraim, Hashem, Kosfeinu B'sefer Chayim Toivim, Kosfeinu B'sefer Sechlicha Gulu Yeshua, Kosfeinu B'sefer Zuchuyos, and Slimachila, what are you really saying? It is an elaboration of what you say every single Shabbos, 3 times a day, Katshenu B'mitzvah Secha, V'sein Chelkeinu B'soirosecha. Hashem, grant us our portion in your Torah. What do you mean, my Torah? Let's be very specific. Kosveinu B'sefer Chaim Tovim. Kosveinu B'sefer Gulev Yeshua. Kosveinu B'sefer Parnos V'chalkola. Kosveinu B'sefer Zuchuyos. Kosveinu B'sefer Slichu Mechila. In the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. V'sein Chelkeinu B'soirosecha. Grant me a portion in if you're in the Torah, if you're connected to the Torah, you got it all. It's an elaboration. So you see from the Nusach HaTfilah, Mamish Ni'ilah, you say Chosmeinu. In the five books have a very different role. I'm just telling you one of many perushim of why there are 5 books. This has to be understood. Why in the Torah are there 5 books? Only after we understand why in the Torah there are 5 books, and now appreciate David's request that Sefer Tehillim should be called Talmud Torah, not just prayer. It should be Talmud Torah. Oh, Tehillim is Talmud Torah, and there are 5 books of Torah. Oh, there has to be now a parallel of five books of Tehillim. Now, obviously, it's much deeper than that. And indeed, if you have a real people who say Tehillim every single day, know what they're saying, can probably have a lot of insight in appreciating the difference in style, the difference in expressions of the five books. Okay, we over here, we didn't even scratch the surface. But from the little bit that I've just been preparing for today, a little bit I've seen is that the next Sefer is not, a lot of it is not David's stuff. And this Sefer is all his stuff. This is all original. It's original. It's his chidushim. I'm not sure I'm saying that's correct. But the next book,
Rav Sadia Gaon says he wrote everything.
He revised everything. Okay. What about Tehillim? Okay, fine. Whatever.
No, it explains why all those other things. He
gave. Different names. Okay, fine. But on a very similar level, we learned came past things that there are at least 10 people, 10 different names. Who seem to indicate that they wrote at least the basic skeleton of the Mizmah, not just David. So those people first appear now. Everything until now is David. David starts off with his book. Okay, so it's a tough question, and we touched upon a little bit of an answer. Okay, now let's take a look over here at Rashi. Rashi is short. Rashi. Yes, that's one. That's what it says in the Targum. The Targum says, Meha Olam Yad Olam, Rav Mordechai pointed out, the Sipurna says that, is from this world to the next world. Min Olmo Hadain, it's like you're saying, it's like a seam on the go, on the Daf Yomi. Ma Olmo Hadain, the Ad Olmo De Osei. Okay, so he says the Olam is this world and the next world. The Mitzudas doesn't say that. The Mitzudas says from one end to the other, from sea to shining sea. Okay, from one end to the other end, it means in this world, Hashem's presence is everywhere. Famous story, Meir always likes the story, with Lubavitcher Rebbe. A girl from Hawaii sent a letter to Lubavitcher Rebbe. Why should she light candles? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote back to her, Hashem, you live in the most extreme part of the world. And when Shabbos begins in the east. And as the time goes on, it becomes, Shabbos enters little by little over, what is it, 18 hours? How long does it take? 18 hours? International dateline? From the time Shabbos begins. Okay, but she was in Hawaii. So she lived in an area that's mamish on the border, mamish by the international. So it says that Shabbos comes upon the entire world. It starts off in the east. I don't know, wherever it is, the east, whatever. And then as the day goes on, it becomes Shabbos in this country, in this country, in this country. It comes to America, the East Coast. Comes to New York at Shabbos. Then it becomes Shabbos in Chicago. Then it becomes Shabbos in Los Angeles. And then it comes Shabbos in Hawaii. And then some other island, Govaita, whatever these islands are. Hashem needs you. Hashem needs you to light candles because it's not Shabbos. The Shabbos does not begin in the entire world until the sun sets where you are. When you light candles in that part of the world, you are a mamish, a partner with Hashem, because that's the last place of the world where Shabbos is beginning. And Hashem needs you in that part of the world, at the very last edge of the world, to sanctify the Shabbos. Min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam. Mikotze el kotze. At the beginning of the international dateline, who lives? Identify the person who lives at the edge of the international dateline and is the first person to usher in Shabbos. Don't you see every year, New Year's, they always say, oh, New Year's has begun in this part of the world. They show you all these celebrations. What do you mean? New Year's is tomorrow. It's not yet 12 o'clock. Not yet 12 o'clock. What are they celebrating? Oh, they live in some part of the world you never even heard of. And there, it's already Chatzos Laila. Oh, you already see them. And then you go into the next part of the world. The next part of the world. They're celebrating New Year's. Well, that's a Narishkeit. Shabbos Kodesh. That's the Iker. So wherever it is, I don't know where it is, but whatever it is, try to find the person who lives at the edge. This is the first person to light Shabbos candles and to make a bracha, Asher kiddushonim b'mitzvahis v'en l'halik ner shel Shabbos, to give kiddusha Shabbos, mizmor shir liyayim haShabbos, and then it takes, how long does it take, 24 hours? I'm assuming, an international dateline, 24 hours or less? I don't know, how does it work? I don't even know how it works. It's too confusing for me. Yeah.
Well,
24 hours?
Because of the time difference, there's even more, because of the way they do it, it's more than 24 hours.
Right, more than 24 hours. It goes all the way around the world. Who's the last person to be Mekabel Shabbos? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to that little girl, you live at the edge. Hashem needs you to be the last person to bring in the Kedusha Shabbos, your bracha. Such a beautiful letter.
Shabbos each week is more than 24 hours.
Okay, right, so you have to figure out the calculations. Don't confuse me with the facts. I'm not a numbers person. There are three types of people in this world. Those who know how to count and those who don't. So don't confuse me with the facts. Listen, you have an accountant? Take an interview. You have an interview. You hire three people to be an accountant for your firm, for your company. So you interview. The first one, you say, and you test them. What does 1 + 1 equal? So he says it equals 2. No. Next candidate. What does 1 + 1 equal? 3. No. What does 1 + 1 equal? Whatever you wanted to. Hired. You're my accountant. I'll see you in jail. Okay. Now going back, Me'a Olam V'ada Olam can mean you have the beautiful pshat of the Targum, esoteric concepts in this world and the next world. But you know something? There's a very satisfying pleasure in appreciating what it means from one end of the world to the other. Judaism, Hashem, is not only in Brooklyn and in Lakewood. The Ribbono Shel Olam is present in the remote, in Israel also. In the Knesset. Hashem is present in the Knesset. Okay, he's also there. Someone says, I was on ISIS, I said, where should we go? I want to go on a tour. I want to go check out the country. We'll go here, we'll go to all the Kvarim, we'll go to Yad Vashem. That was probably the best place I ever went, Yad Vashem. That was amazing. Went to Yad Vashem, that was quite an experience. That was right when it opened up. That was many, many years ago. It opened up when it was brand new. It was quite an experience, Yad Vashem. The new ISIS is already not so new anymore. And then I said to someone, I want to go to the Knesset. I want to go. Let's go to the canal. Let's get tickets. So he said, I don't even tell you exactly what he told me about the Knesset. Basically, you want to go to a place where God doesn't exist. He said it a lot worse than that. Okay, today, Baruch Hashem, it's not really so true anymore. Today, you read the news, how many of the new people in the new government are mamish shomer Shabbos? Pile ploim. I think Baruch Horowitz over, he really summarized this election in a very unique way. For decades, they've all been saying, you know, the Charedim are having, Baruch Hashem, a lot of children. The Charedim, you know, B'nai Torah, they're having 10 children, 12 children, 18 children. Eventually, it's going to happen.
Not yet.
It's going to happen when the population explosion of the Charedim, the B'nai Torah, are just Nemela. The numbers, when is it going to happen already? So we've gone already through decades. You know, okay, you know, a little more.
The last election, 5.3% growth and population, but the vote did not show.
That's right.
In the last election.
Maybe this one too. The vote didn't show it.
The vote didn't show it. But you can't deny that in this election yesterday, there's no question that the population growth of the religious element doesn't just mean ultra-Orthodox. It means people, Shomer Shabbos, people who have an appreciation for religion has finally, Baruch's observation, has finally burst forth, has shown itself. No, not yet. I think Baruch...
Chavi Knesset,
That generation is still too young to grow.
Yeah, they have to grow up.
Yesh Atid has two or three Shomeshavs.
Even Yesh Atid.
There's about
40 people at Shomer Shabbos.
Well, you know what? A few years ago, the New York Times did a survey. They said where it used to be that most of the officers in the army came from kibbutzim. Now they come from yeshivas.
Right, but it still didn't. Until this election, it didn't really impact the government. Look, they couldn't put together a government for how many years already? How many years already? They just can't get over that hump. And this election, it's secure. Why is it secure? Because the people who have voted basically, the votes are Hashem. We are maminim in Hashem. That's the vote. Those are the votes. Okay, there are different parties, but it's a religious element that has finally, Zerah Baruch Zvart. It's an incredible Kiddush Hashem.
My daughter-in-law's brother is the average family settlement is six children.
And in America, how many people, average person? 1.62, right? Something like that. How many children does a person have?
1.62 lives.
And the dog.
And the dog. And a few dogs. There are a lot of dogs in Israel also.
I heard yesterday something very interesting. This election was either we want Medina Israelit or we want Medina Yehudit.
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 Exactly. Exactly what Baruch has said. Exactly. And it's the first time. I don't know, it's because in the past, when it was like this, it was the secular, for ulterior motives to a degree, it was worthy the Likud, the religious people should, because of ulterior motives. But this was a little different. The impression you get is no. Exactly. A Medina Yehudit. Jewish state, not an Israeli state. Why? How did that happen? Numbers, population growth.
That's not all.
No?
It's also the post-Zionist era.
That's all part of that. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Same thing.
The post-Zionist, just like you have the left here, the same thing.
I think it's a very interesting. The Arabs didn't contribute so much. They don't contribute so much. America, they know these Democrats, they're going crazy. They're so disappointed. These left wingers in America, they're very frightened. How could it be? There's a country that believes in God. Are you talking? They mamish a democratic state in the Middle East. And Baruch Hashem, it's a good musa to them. All right, let's go further over here. Let's take a look over here at Rashi. Rashi says, Higdalai Okev Marov. Okev is Marov, ambush. My enemies are exploiting me. They're lying in ambush. Kamo v'yes akevoy miyom lo'ir. The word akev is always a term which, even though literally it means the heel, a footstep, in this context it means they lie in ambush. Pasuk Yudbez Gimel
Bezois.
They lie in wait. Ambush, yeah, lie in wait.
But it explains
the footstep. The word okay is a footstep. So they're lying, they're standing, they're stationed with their foot, with their feet. Pasuk Yudbez Yigimun Rashi. Bezos Yodati Vigarmakishe Tichoneni Usik Aimeni Eda. When you, Hashem, will heal me, will show me favor, and will restore me, I will know ki chofats the bi kasher lo yoria oiva oivi trua simcha olai. And by restoring me, I will be spared the humiliation of my enemies shouting for joy. The era I will see ki bisumi tomachti bi, and I will see Rashi. Not so clear what Rashi means over here. I will witness that my tumi, that my wholesomeness is what got me here. It pays to be a believer in Hashem, because at the end of the day, that's all you got. By my sumi, my wholesomeness in being tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha, is what brought me success and salvation. We have to say, Mefarsh will explain this in more detail. Baruch Hashem, kishakum mecholi avorecha chokein. Notice Rashi really, really dampers. He really, really silences all of the excitement of all the other Mefarshim. almost all of the Mepharshim here, when they say Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Me'olam Ve'ad Olam Amen V'Amen, they all basically say that this pasuk has absolutely nothing to do with this mizmar, and has nothing to do with anything. It's nothing more than a bookend. It is a closing statement that has nothing to do with anything. Rashi shockingly disagrees. Rashi says the whole mizmar, Rashi, I'm sick, I'm dying, I'm on my deathbed, my eres davoy, I'm a goises, and my enemies can't wait. They already printed the pashkevilim. They already printed. They put them up already. They put them up. Okay, they're all there, and they can't wait. And David says, "Oh, when I recover, I'm gonna sue them all. I'm gonna shut down their social media accounts, and I'm gonna sue the Pashkevilim company for putting up signs that I already died. I'm gonna finish them off." And he says, "Baruch Hashem kish akume choli, and I will bless you, Hashem avarechacha kain, I will bless you." Shocking. Rashi says that this pasuk has nothing to do with the chasima of the sefer. Maybe Rashi held there is no chasima. So there are. Does Rashi agree to this principle? There are five books. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this five books. So you have to really. We have to be ma'ayin into it. Look, Art Scroll was very generous. They gave it a whole page. If you turn the page, Sefer Sheni. They gave a whole page to dedicate. That is another book. Where does that come from? Is there a?
Yeah, Ben Ezra mentioned.
Ibn Ezra, Rishayim mentions the five books.
Sefer
Rishayim. Okay, so you see Ibn Ezra.
Sefer,
so you see this goes from the Rishayim. Today you go open the newspaper, the Tehillim for today, you divide them to 30 days. Divide Tehillim into there are only 100 different ways to divide Tehillim and when to say Tehillim, and there are many different programs. You get confused sometimes. Wait a minute, what's the real deal here? How do we really divide up Tehillim? What's the real division? So here you see over here that he says Ibn Ezra five books. Okay, let's just name the one the Radak. Yep.
I have a question. I see the Amit here.
Brich Shmei. Brich Shmei. Right. Okay, so this is a yisod of the Targum. The Targum, this is a very famous thing. The Targum never, Targum in Unkelus. This is a takeoff from Unkelus. The Targum always, b'liyotzim in haklal, it's kodom Hashem. Whenever it says the word Hashem in the pasuk in Chumash, Unkelus, from before Hashem, there is a consistent pattern of behavior of the machloikis, a very major machloikis, Rashi and Targum Unkelus, is our relationship to Hashem. Rashi says, I think the best example, we learned this in the afternoon, that shir is shutting down. Anyone want to save the shir? Our afternoon shir is on the verge of shutting down. We learn in the afternoon Chumash, Rashi, and Unkelus. So, unfortunately, it's not too popular. We might close it down. But when we Baruch Hashem, we had a good run. And when we learned, I think probably the best example is in Parashas Pichu Koisai, V'hisalachti b'soichachem. So this is probably the best example of Targum and Rashi. Rashi says, Hashem says, I will walk around in Gan Eden together with you guys. We'll have a beer. Hashem says, I'll sit down with his Rashi, I can't make this stuff up. Fisalachti atayil imochem b'gan Eden, and you won't be afraid of me. I will walk around, I will enter Gan Eden with you, and I'll walk around. I'll work the crowd, and you'll say hello, Rebbeinu Shlom, how you doing today? L'chaim, thank you for coming to the dinner. Thank you for coming. And you won't tremble before me. You won't be afraid of me. Rashi says, and this is a revelation of Rashi's approach to understanding whenever it says in the Pasuk Hashem, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, the Ribbono Shel Olam, we know, is beyond infinite. His sanctity is beyond. Man, there is nothing man has common with Hashem. Zero, zero, zero. Hashem is above and beyond. Yet Hashem is mitzamtzem himself to such a degree where man can mamish have a relationship with Hashem and talk to Hashem as if he's your best friend. Now, that's a dangerous statement. Yiras Elokim, you have to tremble and shake and quake before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Mekim Liyira Oysa. But yet Rashi, over and over, he breaks down that barrier and allows a person to feel Hashem is right here. Hashem is with me. Hashem is my friend. Hashem I can have a conversation with. The Targum goes berserk over this attitude. The Targum says, what are you doing? Kodom Hashem. There is a brick wall between you and Hashem. Don't fool yourself for one second in thinking that you have anything to do with Hashem. Hashem is above, beyond you. Let me read you the Rashi and the Targum. It illustrates the whole Torah. It's cutting between the two.
What we did
with that,
when we say Baruch Hu Kodom Hashem, we say Atah.
Parshas Michal Kosai. Emor Matos Shlach Michal Kosai. Here we go. V'nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. Let's see. V'hisalachti B'sechem Pasuk Yudeis. Mark is pasuk yidbeis. Perik chavav pasuk yidbeis. V'salachti b'seichachem. Rashi pasuk yidbeis. What does he say here? Pasuk yidbeis. Atayel imachem. I will walk around. We'll go for a tour. We'll go on the bus together. Okay. We'll sit on the bus. The Gan Eden. Ke'echod. Can you believe what it says here? Like one of you. Ke'echod mikem. Ilmale mikra kosuf ef shalom amrei. To say such things. You would be banned. You know, if Rashi, someone would write this today, they would put the whole sefer in chayim. Rashi writes, I will walk with you in, like one of you. Ke'echod mikem.
Am I going with the story with Yehovah'am? Ani ve'ata
ve've... Mibarosh. Mibarosh. V'lo to you mizdazim mimeni. And you will not be terrified of me. I will walk with you in Gan Eden, you'll not be terrified. Yochol, Rashi says, oh, you lo tirohu mimeni. Maybe you think you're not going to be afraid. No, not that far. Rashi says such a thing. What does the Targum say? Pasuk Yud Beis. On this Rashi, v'ashrei shechinasi b'neichoim, I will rest my divine presence amongst you. V'havei l'choim l'loka. No such thing. All it says here is v'salachti, I will rest, v'ashrei. I will rest my shechinti. Now, I'm not walking around with you in Gan Eden, no way. The divine presence right here in this room, the same thing. I will rest my shechina amongst you, b'neichoin. It means, the same thing it means in this room. Right now, the people are learning Torah, the Shechinah is a prayer, Shech Chazal. There are 10 people learning Torah, the Shechinah is present. That's all it means. To go say that Hashem is going to go into Gan Eden and walk around, Ke'echad Mikem, the Targum faints when he reads this. Because every single place in the Targum, it says, Kodom Hashem, Kodom. He always adds that word, Kodom, Kodom. And there are numerous examples where the Targum is always coming to create barriers. And always trying to remind you, don't make a mistake and think that you have any connection to Hashem. Hashem is infinite, way above. You should be terrified before HaKadosh Baruch. And Rashi continuously breaks down that barrier. Hashem is your friend. Hashem is your companion. Hashem is there with you wherever you go. Hashem is present. You can talk to Hashem. You can joke around with Hashem. I mean, you have to fear Hashem. But Rashi breaks down the barrier, and the Targum he builds fortresses to separate you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to impress upon you, excuse me, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't get any ideas here. And the MS is the balance. You have to learn Chumash, Rashi, and Unkelis to to have that proper balance between the two. From Rashi, you're gonna walk away with the beauty. Rashi's your Hashem's your friend. You know, we don't even realize what Rashi does for us. Rashi has, you learn Rashi, you don't realize how much you absorb yesoidos of emuna and hashkafa and how you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Rashi writes something like this, you don't even realize what you're reading. Atayli machem began eden, ke'echad mikem, v'loy, you're not going to be terrified. When you learn Rashi every year and you don't even realize it sinks into your head, it becomes subconscious. Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. You develop an emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You learn the Targum, Kodam Hashem. That, you know what that is? That's dynamite. A guy, someone that does learn Chumash Rashi, this lesson never penetrates. Doesn't penetrate how you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just learning Rashi and Unkelis, you're automatically picking up the basic essence of emunah. All right, we have to stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. We have to continue our discussion of IVF, in vitro fertilization, when we come back.